In one of his first official acts, President Trump fulfilled a promise that defined his campaign, granting clemency to all of the more than 1,500 people charged in connection with the January 6th, 2021 attack on the Capitol.
These are the hostages, approximately 1,500 for a pardon.
Yes.
Full pardon.
The action included pardons for nonviolent offenders, along with those who assaulted police officers. Trump also commuted the sentences of 14 others, all of whom are linked to the Oath Keepers and Proud Boys, both far-right extremist groups. For more, NPR Justice correspondent Carrie Johnson is here, along with NPR investigative correspondent Tom Dreisbach. Good to have you both with us.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Carrie, let's start with you. This was a massive criminal investigation, more than 1,500 cases, which Trump just ended. What happens now?
Already, we're seeing people being released from prisons and jails, including Enrique Tarrio. He's the former chairman of the far-right Proud Boys group, and he had been serving a prison term of 22 years. He's now free, according to his lawyer, Naib Hassan.
I can tell you Enrique is looking forward to moving forward with his life and being a productive member of society.
Several other members of the Proud Boys also won pardons, and some had their sentences commuted.
Explain the difference between these pardons and commutations.
The vast majority of people won full and complete pardons, meaning not only are they released from prison, but they get certain rights back, like voting or owning a firearm. Trump commuted or shortened the sentences of 14 other people, including Stuart Rhodes. He's the founder of the far-right Oath Keepers group. Rhodes was convicted of seditious conspiracy and sentenced to 18 years in prison. The judge said he was an ongoing threat to this country and the very fabric of our democracy. Stuart Rhodes was released early this morning. He's been spotted outside the D.C. jail this afternoon, waiting for the release of other defendants.
Tom, there had been a sense that Trump might pardon only the nonviolent defendants. Vice President J.D. Vance actually said, obviously, in his words, people who assaulted police should not be pardoned. But Trump pardoned with a broad brush. Remind people about the violence that day.
Yeah, rioters brought a lot of weapons. Pepper spray, bear spray, metal poles, bats, stolen police batons. Several actually had loaded handguns, though thankfully they did not shoot anyone. More than 140 police officers were injured. And in one of the most severe assaults that's really stuck with me, a rioter took a stun gun and drove it into the neck of police officer Michael Fanone. He then suffered a heart attack. He was worried he was going to be killed. Multiple officers have described being crushed, feeling choked by the pepper spray, thinking they are about to die. And some rioters celebrated the violence, like Ryan Nichols. He wore a bulletproof vest on January 6th. He was armed with a crowbar. He pleaded guilty to spraying police officers in the face with pepper spray. And on the night of January 6th, so after the riot, he recorded himself calling for a second American revolution.
So if you want to know where Ryan Nichols stands, Ryan Nichols stands for violence. Ryan Nichols is done allowing his country to be stolen. And I understand that the first Revolutionary War, folks, it was violent. Well, guess what? This second Revolutionary War right now, the American Revolutionary War that's going on right now, it started today. It's going to be violent.
That was Ryan Nichols on January 6th. He was sentenced later to 5 years in prison. And now he is among those violent defendants who received a full and unconditional pardon.
Carrie, given how much the Justice Department under Merrick Garland had pushed for these prosecutions, how are those prosecutors feeling now?
It's the U.S. Attorney's Office here in D.C. that handled most of those cases, and I reached out today to Matt Graves, who led that office under President Biden. Graves says most of these defendants had already pleaded guilty and served their time, so the pardons actually benefit the most violent criminals, the ones who got the most punishment. Graves rejected the idea that this whole effort, which was really the biggest investigation in Justice Department history, that the effort came to nothing. He says there's a robust public record, more than 250 trials, exhibits, guilty pleas, and he says those can't be wiped away. And as for releasing so many people who committed serious crimes, here's what Graves had to say.
So as a prosecutor, we always have concerns about individuals when they're released going out and committing similar crimes to the crimes they committed in the past. Obviously, those concerns are heightened if there's a perception that their conduct has been approved by the state.
Tom, you've been talking to police officers who were assaulted on January 6th and family members. What have you heard?
Well, the words I've been hearing are betrayal. Shocked but not surprised was what former Capitol Police Sergeant Aquilino Gunnell told me. He was repeatedly assaulted on January 6th, had to have two surgeries, actually, because of the injuries he sustained. He still has PTSD. And he was set to go to court, actually, for the sentencing of another rioter who was convicted of assaulting him. But then, after the pardons, he got the call. That's off. As a crime victim, all day he's been getting notifications from the Bureau of Prisons that other people who assaulted him are being released. He said he basically does not understand how Trump and his supporters can claim they back the blue, support law enforcement, while also issuing these pardons. And he's concerned about his and his family's safety, still dealing with threats for speaking out about January 6th.
The very same people who claim to support the police are the one making harassment calls, threatening on social media, all because we did our job.
So, Tom, what is next for some of these riot defendants?
Well, keep in mind, most people, like Carrie mentioned, already served their sentences. The median sentence was less than a year. Many people got no jail time at all. So it's really the people convicted of the most serious crimes, seditious conspiracy, violent felonies. They're getting the most relief here. For people convicted of felonies, a pardon means they get their gun rights back, for one thing. The rioter, actually widely described as the QAnon shaman, he stormed the Capitol while wearing the furs and wearing horns. People might remember him. He actually posted on social media that he was going to go out and buy some guns now that he's been pardoned.
And Carrie, in many cases, a pardon represents the end of the story. But I understand that might not be the case here. You have some new information on that?
I talked a short while ago with Larry Krasner, the district attorney in Philadelphia. He's been doing some research about these January 6th defendants, including the former president of the Proud Boys chapter in Philadelphia. Krasner says Trump's pardons and clemencies apply only to federal crimes, not to state charges, and there may have been crimes committed in Philadelphia by some of the most violent and serious offenders. There are going to be challenges here to bringing state cases, things like double jeopardy and what actually happened in Pennsylvania versus what happened in D.C., like these steps to plan an alleged conspiracy. But the bottom line is some district attorneys and state attorneys general may be looking to make new cases against some of these January 6th defendants, and they may be the front line to policing political violence in the coming years.
That's NPR's Carrie Johnson and Tom Dreisbach. Thank you both.
Thanks, Ari.
Thank you.